You are now invited to listen to Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Mounts.
Well, hello and hello. Beautiful Sunday morning to you. I'm Reverend Tommy Mounts. It's good to be able to come right back to your homes again today on this beautiful Sunday morning with Something to Believe In. And there is something to believe in. We must believe in ourselves, believe in God, because all things are possible according to the Bible to those that we will believe. This is the day the Lord hath made according to Scripture, and we can rejoice and we can be glad there is. So let's get our broadcast started today. And we hope today that the sick, the shut-in, the convalescent homes, the penitentiaries, wherever you are today, that we might bring a ray of sunshine in your heart and life. And most of all, I'll tell you, there is something to believe in. So let's get our broadcast started today with Martha doing this beautiful song called The City Limits of Heaven.
Some wonderful day, we're leaving for glory. We're going where time and eternity meet. We make His sign, city limits of heaven. Prepare for a chance to enter the game.
The city is good. There's nothing but happiness. The presence that cries abounds everywhere. On top of a hill and down by the river. Someday I will join that heavenly choir.
Our cares and earthly possessions, the burdens of life and times we have tried, not even the house or the body we live in, we'll have to change hearts while on the I'm ready to claim my wardrobe in heaven. It's tailored for me and just the right size. I'll dress like a queen and I'll walk with the angels. Good morning up there and never.
There's nothing but happiness. The presence of Christ abounds everywhere. On top of a hill and down by the river. Someday I will join that heavenly choir. The city is good. There's nothing but happiness. The presence of Christ abounds everywhere. On top of the hill and down by the river. Someday I will join that heavenly choir.
Okay, we've got a lot of requests we'd like to make today. Let's first of all remember Bob and Evelyn Guy. And we certainly do appreciate Anna and David Cole done her song last week in church, but Anna was not able to be with us. But we certainly do appreciate her and also her husband. And let's remember the Sunrise Chapel. We certainly do appreciate Delmer and Prima. All the folks up that way, it's always good to get back up that way and preach to the folks. We've been going there for many years, and there's a great bond of love there between us. Well, it's just Christian fellowship and love, and we certainly do appreciate those folks. Ed and Mary Jo Ballard, you haven't seen them for a while. Hope they're doing real well and enjoying the broadcast. I also want to remember Irene. Also, Ernie and Betty. I'll get it right here in just a minute, Ernie. I'm sorry about that. But we want to remember Ernie and Betty Jo Adkins and also the youngins there. I always call them the youngins. And I'm going to do the song here in just a little bit, not right now, but we're going to do it before the broadcast is over, called 21, Son. I think that's the song, the recitation they said they liked. And James and Louise Ellison, we appreciate. They always hear the broadcast. And we appreciate also Jack and Mary Ellison. We hope that Jack's feeling much better. And Marion enjoying the broadcast. Calvin and Delphia Lemon, hope you're doing all right. Calvin and Delphia, hope to see you somewhere along the way. And then also, we don't want to forget our good friend, Miss Ethel Coulter, a shut-in person, and a person that, well, she says the broadcast is her time of church, and we certainly do appreciate her. And we're so glad that we can be part of her Sunday. We don't want the shut-in people are very important to our broadcast because we feel like that. Excuse me. If people can get out and go to church, they need to. But there are shut-in people that can't get out and go and would love to go. And, you know, sometimes that makes us ashamed because we don't go to church a lot of times when we can, and yet we got people that want to and can't. So let's remember those shut-in people. Alan and Melinda Prophet, appreciate those folks. And then we hope that also that Clifford and Thelma's doing well. And also his brother and his wife. Well, there's so many people that are sick in our listening audience. And we want to remember those folks today in the broadcast. And so we're going to go right back right now and do a song called Cast Your Cares Upon Him.
If the storms of life have shattered all your hopes and plans, and the light upon the path you walk is dim, remember God still loves you, and He holds you in His hand. He invites you, cast your cares upon Him. He has borne your grief and sorrow. There's no reason to be down, no reason to believe you cannot win. Though you may not understand the storm you feel within your soul, reach out in faith, cast your care upon Him. You know you searched in all directions, but the way is not safe. It seems a confusion and doubt, they seem to lie on every hand. God will not forsake you, He is your dearest friend, and He tells you, cast your care upon Him. He has borne your grief and sorrow. There's no reason to be down, no reason to believe you cannot win. Though you may not understand the storm you've had within your soul, reach out in faith, cast your care upon Me. Though you may not understand you feel within your soul. Reach out in faith, cast your care upon Him.
Well, we want to go right now and do the recitation that we do on 21, son. We love to do the recitations. Maybe you have one of the older recitations you'd like to send me. I love to do recitations. Recitations has got such a great message, and we love to do them. We have done some by our good friend, Brother Higginbottom. If he had any more new ones, I'd like for him to send them to me, and maybe we'll get some of them on. But let's go right now and do this. Betty Joe and Ernie, they like this song. Also, let's send it out to Phil and Kathy and, well, all the folks up dropping Lake Mine. We had such a great time up there. We had two nights revival. And Dan Arbogast was our speaker, and we do want to remember him in prayer. He and his wife, and from up around Rennick, and we had such a great time. Then on Sunday morning, we had the New Jerusalem, and the folks that came, we certainly do appreciate you. New folks that we met along the way, and also some of our regulars, we appreciate. Appreciate that church. I'll tell you, it's really been a great little church to us, and they've been good to us, and we certainly do appreciate their help and their prayers and their support. We made a lot of friends up that way. Let's remember also Miss Emma Wiseman. Here's the broadcast. Well, we've just got so many. Miss Wallace, and, well, we've just got so many that we hesitate to mention any names. Steve Ellison and his family. And, well, anyhow, if I keep going, I'll miss somebody. I don't want to do that. Frank Bradley, want to remember him and his wife, Bonnie, and also her mother. And we're just so glad. You know, we pick up new listeners along the way, and that's what the broadcast is for, is just kind of come into your home. We are a personal preacher to personal people. And what you hear on the broadcast and what you're going to meet along the way, because we're not no big eyes, little U's. We're simply a man that's been called of God to bless the hearts of people. That's not brag, that's just facts, because I know that what God's called me to do, and that's what I enjoy doing, and we enjoy doing it for you. So let's go right now, listen to the recitation, call 21, son, 21, because I have a very important request that I want to do right after this song.
Now, you were just a little fella, son, the night your mama died. You don't remember it now, but we were right there by mama's side. Your ma had this sickness, boy, from all the work she'd done. She prayed all her life that God would let her raise you just to be 21. Now, me and you never moved to town, boy. We just kept on living out here. And life's been pretty tough, son, for the past 21 years. I remember when you were a young fella, I used to take you to church. And to see my boy in the choir with all the other children just kind of give your old dad part of jerk. You sound like a little angel, boy, and to fall you did look sweet. Even though your little ragged breeches came halfway down to your skinny knees. After the service was over, it filled your pa's heart with joy when the preacher would pat you on the head and say, Mr. Brown, you sure got a fine little boy. Then me and you would get in the wagon, boy, and you'd look over at me and smile. Then I would hand you the lines and let you drive the team for a while. Oh, yeah, you and me, we've had a lot of fun. We've smiled through a lot of tears. And I wished you could have been my little boy for another million years. But it is so true, son, that time takes its toll. That's why boys grow up and men grow old. Yes, it's been tough for you and me, too, son. And I prayed that God would let me raise you to be 21. But tonight my life's just about over. My work here on earth is just about done. Maybe now I'll go to see the Lord and live with your mama. Because tonight, son, you're 21.
I want to do this next song in memory of a very good friend of mine. And it was hard to believe that when Juanita Martin wrote me this letter. And Juanita, we hope that you're doing well. We think about you and the Passion of Virgil so very often. And Juanita writes me that Brother Virgil Martin, who was a minister down in Dainese, he and I worked together so many years, and we did so many revivals for him. And Juanita, believe you me that we have missed Brother Martin. But I know he's in a better place. Virgil, who passed away in an automobile accident, and she says here that it was 2 years, the 21st of this month, and so we certainly do miss him. But I know that it's our loss, but it's heaven's gain, and it was requested that we do this song. We want to do this in memory My good friend Virgil Martin, and also Junior Duncan and his wife and his mother-in-law, who also passed away. I tell you, a lot of our friends are already on the other side, and maybe soon we'll be joining them. We don't know when or where, and we don't understand the whys of life, but we do understand that if God be for us, who can be against us? And all things work together, Juanita, for those that love the Lord. So we're praying for you, and we're trusting all the people down around Danny's is doing real good. Eddie and Marguerite and all the folks that we know and love down that way. And we're going to do this special song. This is for a special song for a special friend called The Other Side of Jordan, just for my passing minister, Junior Duncan, and also Brother Virgil Martin.
I'll meet you on the other side of Jordan. With friends and loved ones we will ever be. I'll meet you on the other side of Jordan.
Says, stand fast in the faith. In Galatians 5 and 1, he says, stand fast in your liberty. In 2 Thessalonians 2 and 15, stand fast and hold to the tradition which you have been taught. In Philippians 1, 27 and 30, stand fast in one spirit, striving together for the faith of the gospel. What is Paul trying to say to the church? And I believe today that it is as much real for the church today as it was in that day. The opposition. There is an adversary, sir, whether we believe it or not. And Paul said that we are going to be opposed on every hand. And today we need to realize that the most precious thing that the church has been given is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And today we need to take a stand for the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's much compromising. There's many clergy that stand behind the sacred desk today who do not even believe in the virgin birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that in the last days that our faith would be challenged. In the last days, he said, when you've done everything to stand, stand therefore with your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And today that challenge is on. Satan is on the rampage. The Bible said in John 10:10, for the thief cometh but to steal, kill, and destroy. And the enemy is watching for our carelessness. And we can be, as Christians, very careless in the way that we live. We are the only Bible that a lot of people are going to read. You see, even in that day and time, that church had an excellent spiritual progress. They went everywhere, laying hands upon the sick, and they were recovering. In Acts, the Bible said that the disciples went and turned the world upside down. But yet we see the opposing factor in the book of Revelation. Jesus, when he visited the church in the last book of the Bible, in the first chapter of the Revelation, he began to talk about the situations of the church. And it's very obvious that five of the seven churches had a problem. Many had lost their first love. Many was not doing and living according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That tells me, sir, that there is an opposition. You are going to be opposed on every hand. The devil goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And the devil has come to steal, to kill, and destroy. He has come to take away everything that God wants to give you. In the Bible of Matthew 13:1-8, Jesus tells the story about the sower. He said that the sower went forth to sow the seed. And we know the seed is the gospel of Jesus Christ. We know that the seed is going to be sown in the world. But I want you to notice something here, that when the seed fell by the wayside, the Bible said the fowls came and devoured the seed. It was also thrown into the stony place, but it taken no depth. It was also sown into the ground, and it taken root, but it wasn't long until it began to wither away. It was also sown among the thorns, and then other thorns sprung up and choked it out. In the fifth one, the Bible said that the seed fell into the good ground, and it grew and brought forth plenty. And today, I look at this as only one out of five situations are really working. You see, we're not seeing revivals like we used to. We're not seeing people commit their lives to Christ like we used to. We're not seeing old-fashioned revivals as we used to. How long has it been since you saw someone saved in your church? Oh, I'm not saying that God isn't saving. I'm not saying that old-time conviction is not falling across the hearts of people. But you see, there's so much confusion. Paul, in one passage of Scripture, said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. And the grace of God is being frustrated. People are confused today. They say, do this, don't do that. But the first thing we must do is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. We need to go back to the very first verse of the Bible in the book of Generations. And in the book of Genesis, he said, in the beginning, God, we must settle that issue. Only there was 100-fold brought forth through the good ground. There was 60-fold and 34 that was brought forth through the good ground. But there was four situations where the seed fell and the fowls ate it up. There was no depth of it, and there was no roots. And when there was roots, it soon withered away. And then there were thorns that sprung up and soon choked out the good seed. And I think that Jesus is trying to give us an illustration of the percentage of people that will be saved. And today, when does the thief come? He comes when the harvest is ready. He doesn't come until the harvest begins to be ready, and then the devil swoops in and begins to destroy and begins to devour. I have always said it, that as long as we're not doing anything, the devil is not concerned. The devil is only concerned with that church that is concerned about souls. When people begin to get saved, when people begin to rededicate and commit their life to Christ, look out, sir.
the devil is going to get mad. You see, I've always thought of it as the dove and then the devil. God blesses, and I believe that God can bless. God can bless, and sin cannot hinder. But sin can hinder, and God cannot bless. And it's the dove and then the devil. We find it many times throughout the Scripture. We find that the devil is going about trying to destroy. He tries to destroy before it happens. And then he tries to destroy while it's happening. And he tries to destroy when it does happen. Because, listen, it's because you've given your life to the Lord doesn't mean the devil's going to sit on the sidelines and do nothing. You see, because once you have given your life to Christ, the opposition begins. You say, well, preacher, why should I start? Well, you should start because your soul is at stake. You should be governing on only one circumstance. You should not be trying to defeat the devil. You should be trying to realize that the devil has already been defeated. Jesus defaced him. He dethroned him. He destroyed him at Calvary. He did it because he knew the opposition that you would have when he walked upon the face of the earth. He was also opposed. He was opposed on the mountainside when the Satan said, make these rocks to become bread. Cast yourself down. The angels have taken care of you. All of this city will I give to you. He already had it, sir. It already belonged to him. But God is always showing us the opposition. Go with me to the book of Generations again. Adam and Eve was placed within the garden. They were given anything and everything that they needed. Some have believed, and I'm prone to believe also, that they had been given eternal life. But something happened. Sin had to be opposed. They gave in to the opposition of Satan. He came there. He came to kill, to steal, and destroy. Look at the picture, sir. It's very obvious. They partook of the thing that God told them not to, and they lost their home. They lost everything, and sin began to reign in their life. And it wasn't very long until one son was born and then another. And then that son rose to kill the other brother. And now see the pain, the misery, and the heartache that is coming to that family. Sin is a destroyer. Sin is that thing. It is out going about like that roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Listen, say to the enemy today, I am tired of running. I'm tired of running when no man is pursuing. And that's exactly what the devil is doing. If he gets you to running, he gets you to doubting, he gets you to disbelieving God, how can God work with you and for you when all this doubt and confusion is in your mind? Say to the devil right now, devil, I'm not going to run anymore. I'm tired of retreating. You see, we run, but no man is pursuing. The devil is causing our doubt to come to our mind, so therefore we are retreating. I've said to so many people, no, I'm not retiring, I'm only refiring. And today we need an old-fashioned refiring. We need the Holy Ghost to sweep down across the fibers of our soul and stir us to the place that we realize that it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's simply by His Spirit. I'm tired of the enemy taking what belongs to me. And today, it all belongs to you. He said to the children of Israel, go now and possess the land. Now, many said, we cannot possess this land. There be giants in the land. We cannot do what God has called us to do. But two men stood and said, we can possess the land. And true enough, they went out and they possessed the land. You see, Satan would love to steal our joy. He'd love to steal our love. And he'd love to steal our peace. But we must say to the devil today, devil, I'm tired of running. Devil, I'm tired of retreating. Devil, I'm not going to let you take what God has given to me. It belongs to me, and I'm going to take my stand, because Paul said, doing all that we can do, then stand fast. Therefore, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, because that's what Paul is trying to say to the Corinthian church. Stand fast. When you've done everything you can do, then stand fast. In Galatians 5, stand fast in the liberty that God has given you. In 2 Thessalonians, stand fast and hold to the tradition which you have been taught. In Philippians 1, he said, stand fast in one spirit, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So what is Paul saying? Don't lose the precious faith. Don't lose the truth that God has given you, because by truth we can be the overcomers of this world, that we might live in the world which is to come.
We thank you for listening, and you are invited to listen each Sunday at the same time. And always remember, there's something to believe in.